Welcome to the United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6 on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is the show that brings you 26 different stories around Southwest Michigan in 26 weeks, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Want to know more about the work of the United Way? Visit uwsm.org.
Welcome to United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6. I am your host this evening, Rachel Wade, Vice President of Strategy at United Way of Southwest Michigan, filling in this week for Anna Murphy. This is the show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. That's every Tuesday at 6 p.m. here on 94.9 WSJM. Tonight, we will be discussing the power of collective impact. And for many of you listening, that may be a new term. You may not even know what collective impact is or never have heard that before. Collective impact is a really important part of the work that we do at United Way of Southwest Michigan. Most people know our work in terms of programs. We provide funding to programs that help individual citizens change and improve their lives. Collective impact deals with systems, policies, and environments that surround all of that individual change and help make that change lasting in the lives of people in our community. So you can work on changing someone's individual life, but if you then put them back into an environment that doesn't support those changes that they've made, the changes won't last. If they exist underneath policies that make it difficult for them to make positive choices in their life, those individual changes that we've tried to make aren't going to stick. That's why collective impact is so important. But sometimes it's really difficult to talk about because it's kind of this big nebulous thing. Like, what are systems and policies and environments? What does it mean to make change in our community through collective impact? So tonight's show, we are going to be talking to four individuals in our community to give us some real life examples of what work is collective impact making happen here in Southwest Michigan. So it's going to be a really exciting show talking about some work that is super important in our community, but often doesn't get talked about because sometimes it's happening behind the scenes and people don't even really know that it's going on. But this systems, policy, and environment work is what really lays the foundation to make lasting change happen in our community. So I am really excited to join or to invite our first guest, Heather Cole, the director of Be Healthy Berrien, which is a collective impact project that United Way of Southwest Michigan has been involved in since the very beginning. Heather, welcome.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks.
It's so fun to talk to you in like this formal setting because we don't do that very often. Like, we're usually just chatting in meetings and
very strange,
and in the work that we're doing. So Heather, what is Be Healthy Berrien? What does that group do?
All right. So we are working to build healthy communities. So our partners are working together to make changes to help people live healthier lives. So make sure everyone can eat healthy food. Everyone can be active safely. Walk or bike, take transit easily. So just basically build an environment around us that allows us to make healthy choices, to eat good food, move our bodies, and feel good about ourselves.
And your role as the director of Be Healthy Berrien, what do you do? I mean, I know what you do, but but what does that mean to be the director of this group?
Sure. So being a director really means you facilitate the steering committee. So the partners who are involved in designing the strategies and figuring out how we're all going to work together. So really facilitating our leaders, planning and managing projects, doing some fund development because projects always take dollars to get going, and really just overall coordinating of the intervention and making sure people are doing what they need to be doing and we're all moving forward together, which is really what we want to do, is making sure we're all acting in a coordinated way, going in the same direction together.
That's so important in terms of what makes collective impact so different than other types of work happening in the community, because you mentioned your partners. You've got various organizations who are a part of your steering committee and who are all saying, we all believe in this issue together. We're going to share our resources. We're going to lend our expertise. We're going to change the way that we do business to better support each other and this effort. And that's a really different way for organizations to work together. That is a rare and wonderful thing when you're able to make it happen. And you corral that group very well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And you're exactly right. So organizations typically have their plan. They know the path that they're on, and they do a very good job of going down the path. Well, when we have problems such as poor health and obesity and chronic disease that have become so prolific, not any one organization is going to be able to solve that problem. So it takes many organizations all working together, moving in the same direction, not necessarily doing the same thing, but all filling the role that they have are uniquely situated to be in, and serving their specific purpose, all going in the same direction and working together, crossing organizations, sharing resources, sharing data, and really going together. That's what collective impact is all about.
If you are just tuning in, you're listening to United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6, and I am here tonight speaking with Heather Cole of Be Healthy Berrien on the topic of collective impact. So Heather, we've mentioned that you have many partners who are a part of Be Healthy Berrien. What are those organizations that are involved in your work?
So we have some steering committee partners, and these are the partners involved in really setting the strategic direction. Berrien County Health Department, Spectrum Health Lakeland, United Way of Southwest Michigan, Southwest Michigan Planning Commission, YMCA of Southwest Michigan, and then the Pokagon Band as well.
So what is United Way's role in the work of Be Healthy Berrien? Our role is a little bit different from some of the other partners. Can you talk about what that looks like?
Absolutely. So when collaborative projects and partners come together and create a great vision for change, without a support system in place, they're likely to fail. So what United Way acts as in Be Healthy Berrien's role is that support system. So you need dedicated staff. You need resources like phones and internet and copy machines, someone to manage the finances. So we call that in collective impact the backbone support agency. So United Way fills that role. They're my employer. That's where the office I go to every morning. They provide, you know, just great support and infrastructure for this work to happen in.
So when you talk about this work, can you give us a few examples? What are some of the things that Be Healthy Berrien is working on right now?
Absolutely. So we have just a ton of things going on, but I'll give you just a couple of our projects. We are working on healthy corner stores, which is working with corner stores that are in areas that don't have grocery stores where we know people are shopping a lot, and helping these stores to be able to stock produce and other healthy foods so people have more access to get fruits and vegetables. We have three stores we're working with now and adding more every day, so we're really excited about that. We are working with the Planning Commission to plan a trail between Niles and Berrien Springs, a non-motorized path for people to walk and bike and hike. We're creating a bike tour in Niles in partnership with the Niles Historical Center and the Berrien County Health Department and the City of Niles to kind of highlight all the different historical attractions in Niles and create a bike tour between all of them. We are bringing fitness classes into parks and neighborhoods in conjunction with the YMCA. We're making farmers markets easier for people to access so they can spend alternate forms of payment other than cash and credit cards if people don't have those things to buy food with. We're making it easier for people to shop at farmers markets for that, and really helping businesses build worksite wellness programs. So we have lots of partners all over the community, not just our steering committee, but great organizations who are helping us make this happen.
You said a couple examples. That was a lot more than a couple.
And that's just a few of the things we're doing. We're very busy. You know, it doesn't happen without great partners. It doesn't happen just with me or my coordinator alone. It happens, you know, with lots of organizations and lots of partners and lots of people doing great work together.
And it's so important, the work that you're doing. You know, you use the corner store example. The reality is, even in as rich of an agricultural community that we're in, there are some folks who live in homes that they don't have a vehicle, they don't have access to that kind of transportation, and so they are doing their grocery shopping, if you will, at the corner store.
Absolutely.
And so even if that person wanted to make healthy choices and purchase fresh fruits and vegetables, if that corner store doesn't sell those items, the person, the choice that they want to make, they can't. So that's why this whole system, policy, environment piece is so critical.
Exactly. And so, you know, if someone is having problems with diabetes and their doctor is recommending that they eat more fruits and vegetables, eat more whole grain products, eat less processed foods, but they don't have a vehicle, they live very far away from a grocery store, and even if they can get to transit, can you imagine carrying 5 bags of groceries home on a bus for an hour? You know, and they can't take an hour transit ride 5 times a week to go to the store every day, so they're shopping at corner stores and gas stations and things that they can walk to nearby their home. So if they want to follow the recommendations of their doctors, so they want to be able to take care of themselves and their health. They need access to these things that many people take for granted, that I can just go get some salad at the grocery store. I can get a banana or an apple, or, you know, make myself a healthy dinner. So we're working with corner stores to be able to provide these access to these things, that these everyday foods that are supportive of people's health. Right in people's neighborhoods.
That many of us take for granted.
Exactly.
So thank you so much, Heather, for joining us this evening. When we return, we'll continue our conversation on collective impact with Maureen Ovington of the Berrien College Access Network. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Rachel Wade, filling in tonight for Anna Murphy. I'm joined this evening by Maureen Ovington, the director of the Berrien College Access Network, who is here to continue our discussion on the power of collective impact. Hey, Maureen.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
What is the Berrien College Access Network?
That is a great question. So basically, the Berrien College Access Network is a collective impact initiative that focuses on helping to break down barriers and help create pathways towards the post-secondary attainment. When I say post-secondary, I talk about meaning what you're going to do after high school. And we focus on really that area of realm in Berrien County. Normally, when you hear the word college, you tend to think of a community college or a university. When the Berrien CAN talks about college, we refer to it as training and education beyond high school, which then encompasses all of your trade certifications as well as college degrees, which is becoming more of a focus now in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, excellent. So what type of issues is the Berrien CAN trying to address?
So some of our main issues that we're finding in some of the data that we're going over is there's a huge stigma out there about the FAFSA, which is the form that you fill out to basically get funding for college. A lot of students and adults associate that with student debt, which is, you hear, you know, how that has just overcome our country. But what they don't realize is that there was, you know, millions of dollars left on the table in the United States last year because people didn't fill out the FAFSA where they would have probably qualified either for grant money or scholarship opportunities. So a lot of the scholarships require the FAFSA form to be filled out. So we really try to, one of the things we're trying to work on is how can we get more students and more parents involved and break down that stigma of that FAFSA facilitation. And then another kind of pathway that we're looking to start working on is really trying to have students and even the non-traditional returning adults. You know, Southwest Michigan has a lot of different job opportunities, but we don't have the necessary skill sets to fill those because there's individuals that don't have the certifications or degrees that these job markets are looking for. So really trying to help decide and help them figure out what their path is to be able to get them the credentials that they're going to need. That might be a trade certification. It might be, you know, a CNA, you know, going all the way up to a four-year university. But college isn't just a traditional anymore 2 to 4 year institution. It is going above and looking at different opportunities, especially in the manufacturing realm.
So you talked about the stigma of the FAFSA. In our group with the BCAN,
We talk about the word stigma also in terms of career and technical education. And we hear a lot in the news about the skills gap. Can you talk a little bit about what is existing in Berrien County and what the Berrien Can is hoping to do to kind of erase that stigma of career and technical education?
Yes. So if you look at manufacturing, it's interesting. You talk to a lot of our manufacturing folks that run their own shops, and they have a lot of individuals that are reaching towards retirement age or in that older generation gap. But what they're not finding is they don't have that middle person anymore. So they're going to be running short on employees. So what they really want to do, and what we're trying to help with our group, you know, we have four really key components on our steering committee that work in the CTE space, is getting into these schools and letting these kids know that there's these huge opportunities that they can go out and get apprenticeships. And a lot of times when you talk to some of these kids that have done these programs, they've went on to get their, you know, electrical apprenticeship. You know, I know somebody right now that's going through the program, and he just took his test and he's going to go into the union. And they're going to be owning their own homes by the time they're 21, 22 without zero debt. So they're doing this. They're going on to school, but these companies are paying for them to do that. So not only are they learning on-the-job training, but they're also wiping out any kind of debt. They're getting education. And it kind of all starts back in the high school by taking these what we call career technical education courses. So a lot of the high schools around here offer them. And just being able to promote the awareness and the knowledge behind what these look like and getting the kids more aware of what's available to them.
Yeah, and when we talk about stigma also, I think about the kids usually seem to be really excited about participating in these career technical education programs. Sometimes it's the parents, right? I think about my generation of people my age who are now having kids that are starting to enter middle school or high school, and understanding that when I was in high school, CTE was kind of synonymous with alternative ed, right? It was the bad kids that ended up in CTE, and that is so not true. And making sure that we get to more parents to say, a CTE path for your kid is a really good career option to give them a good job and to keep them here in Southwest Michigan.
Exactly.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way's 26 at 6, and I'm here with Maureen Ovington of the Berrien College Access Network. Maureen, talk about some of the organizations, the partners that are a part of the Berrien Can.
Sure. So I am lucky enough to be able to work with some really great individuals on our steering committee. It's made up of a few superintendents within Berrien County. We've got representatives from Niles, Lakeshore, Brandywine, St. Joseph. And then we also get to work with Lake Michigan College and Southwestern Michigan College. Usually they're enrollment directors or their community outreach directors. And then also Berrien RESA. We have quite a few representatives from there. And then also we have Nexus that we work with real closely, and some community representatives on our board. And as kind of Heather was talking, if you tuned in earlier, about the collective impact, is all of these individuals, they all have kind of a common goal, but they each have their day-to-day job. But how I explain collective impact is everybody has an agenda, but you drop your personal agenda at the door and you come for that community agenda. And all of these individuals that sit at this table each month do that. And it's phenomenal, the things that we have started to discuss and put kind of goals behind. And it'll be very exciting to see where those metrics lead.
And how exciting to have representatives from the K-12 school districts, higher education, business, industry, kind of all together in the same room.
Exactly.
Talking about these issues in ways that we haven't done before. How is the Berrien College Access Network going to improve Southwest Michigan as a whole?
Again, I want to talk a little bit about what I touched on earlier, about how Berrien County has a lot of job market opportunities. You go out to Indeed, you go out to any kind of job board, you're going to see that there's a lot of job openings. And it's proven data that by time of the year 2025 in the state of Michigan, you will need some sort of post-secondary after high school degree or certification. So it's really important for us to focus on this now so that we can get these students, and starting from eighth grade, ninth grade up, you know, trying to create some sort of career pathways, some sort of interest, teaching them about career technical education, teaching them about what's available after high school, so that they can figure out that there's a lot of job opportunities that they might not think about, that they can actually make a viable future for themselves, but also come back to Bering County and help sustain our economy here and even grow that to be better.
Yeah, I have a son who's going into eighth grade this year, and he's starting to think about, what do I want to be when I grow up? And I always say, you know, think about the industries and the careers that are going to always exist. You know, become an electrician, become a plumber. We are always going to have buildings and facilities that need to be built and maintained. You know, as I said earlier, when I was growing up, the four-year college path was presented to us as the only viable option for having a good life. And that's just not true.
Times have certainly changed.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful stuff. So what's next for the Berry and Can?
So we are currently in a developing stage of our strategies, and we are creating our action teams, which is pretty amazing because we've got a lot of different people coming to the table now to break out and really focusing on one of the biggest things is financial readiness. And it goes back to that FAFSA facilitation and scholarships. We're really trying to help students and even those returning adults. You know, the state of Michigan has a goal now that Governor Whitmer just put out that they would like to see 60% of Michigan residents by 2030 have some sort of degree or credential. So it's part of the BCAN's mission to help create that change in Bering County and to help develop that. So really trying to work and create some significant strategy around how to improve these numbers.
Well, I think you have the right people engaging in the conversation and some momentum building around what we're doing. And you certainly have a passion for this work that you bring every day, which spills over into the steering committee and wanting to make these changes happen. So thank you to Maureen Ovington of the Berrien College Access Network for joining us this evening. We have more to come on coming together around a common agenda. So stay tuned. Thank you.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to the show. I am Rachel Wade, filling in tonight for Anna Murphy. I am back with Margie Hojera-Hadsel, the director of the Cass County Great Start Collaborative, as we continue our conversation on how collective impact creates change in our communities. Hey, Margie.
Hey, Rachel. How's it going?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
So glad to be here with you.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Tell us about the mission of the Great Start Collaborative. That's a mouthful. What is the Great Start Collaborative?
Well, the Great Start Collaboratives are a statewide system that are put in place or were put in place 9 or 10 years ago to enhance the lives and the potential of the children in that prenatal to third grade age group. So there's a whole system statewide to help children, particularly children who might be in the highest need. There's a list of things, the born healthy, healthy, thriving, developmentally on track from birth to third grade, ready to succeed at school when they start kindergarten, and ready to succeed in fourth grade and beyond by reading proficiency. So that it encompasses some of those third grade reading goals and some of the other things people have heard about. My favorite word in all that verbiage is the word thrive. Just the idea that you are really getting children able to just blossom in that age. I think that's a great goal for all of us. So at the Cass Collaborative, what we have done is we've brought together Cass County partners from health organizations, from human services, from churches, from the court system. We've been so fortunate to have education, early childhood ed, like Tri-County Head Start and the Great Start readiness programs, special ed, and lots of folks from child care, private child care, families. We've just all come together and others to learn how to provide better services that really help children.
Yeah, your meetings, and I say this with all affection, your meetings are really a hodgepodge of just so many different types of organizations and representatives from the community.
You sort of never know who's going to be there. I'm always a little bit surprised. Oh, hi. I think, okay, well,
so great. Your professional background includes nothing related to early childhood development. So why are you leading this effort in Cass County? What is it about this work that speaks to you so much that you wanted to be a part of it?
Well, although I have not worked in early childhood, I worked with the provider community. I worked with individuals with disabilities in vocational rehab for about a million years. Or maybe it just seemed that long. And I know that the providers that I met throughout my work career there and since I've been in Cass County are all in the business of really helping people. People want the same things. Providers, families, everybody wants to do the same things. They want children to thrive. They want the communities to thrive. And they feel frustrated when their help isn't enough. You can see providers just get discouraged when things don't work out, when people fall through the cracks. And after meeting families in Cass County, I know that they want the best for their children. Everybody wants that. And so what we have realized is that people don't always know how to make those connections. People fall through the cracks because the connections get lost. There's services there, and there's people who want to help. There's families who need them, but they don't always get it together. So the collaborative is all about, and for me, the exciting thing, getting people together to learn about each other, to understand services, to find that pathway. It's not my pathway. It's really the pathway that everybody else is designing, to learn about community concerns in all the communities, not just Cass County, but everywhere. Impact of poverty, racial inequity, these things. To find ways to combat those, to create an educated and informed community that can more easily confront these social problems that keep children from being successful, keep everybody from being successful.
And I think that's what makes you so good at this work, even though your background isn't in early childhood development. You talked about how important it is to make these connections. That's what your role is to facilitate those connections and find those connections and help people build those when they don't know how, and to dig beyond just the surface reasons for why people say things are happening or aren't happening, but to really dig deeper and get at the heart of what is really happening for our families and our children. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way's 26 at 6, and I am here with Margie Hojira-Hadsel of the Cass County Great Start Collaborative. So, Margie, you obviously have a tremendous amount of passion for the work. I know that because I work alongside you, but just hearing how you speak about this, why is it that collective impact can produce large-scale social change? What is it about this framework that can really help transform our communities?
Well, I think it goes back to something that's pretty simple. I don't know if you've ever heard the Maya Angelou statement, people do the best they can, but then when they know better, they do better. And that for me is what collective impact is about in Cass County. We believe that getting the county informed about important issues, that people don't know some of this stuff, families, churches, people who could help don't necessarily know. Even providers don't know. And so that what we do is offer multiple learning opportunities, and then we can help begin to design systems that support families better, can be more effective. You know, in some ways, collective impact is the greatest economic development tool, because really what you're doing is you're saying, we want to make our community, we want children just coming up with so much happiness and so much well-being and so much use of their intelligence. We are creating a community that people are going to want to live in and people are going to want to bring their businesses to.
Yeah, I heard a statement once that it's easier and cheaper, I would add, to build a child than to fix an adult.
Yeah,
and that's really what you're doing through the GSE is you are trying to build children in the way that our community needs them to be, and quite frankly, in a way that they all deserve to be built and supported.
Right, and we believe that the first way is to educate the community, inform people about what the possibilities are, what is really happening that is undermining success, and what the possibilities are to help people achieve their potential. I just try to listen. I try to show up. I love people, and so I love listening to what people do and hearing and listening to what their issues are. And you hear it all. You learn from them what the next step needs to be in the community.
How does your work help to leverage the collective assets of your partners and really galvanize the entire community, as you've mentioned, around this common agenda of developing our children?
So through collective impact funds that we've gained from United Way, our steering team and our capacity development team has partnered with Dowagiac Community Schools, I've got quite a list, Lewis Cass Intermediate School District, the Cass County Youth Council, Community Baptist Church, the Y, Head Start. We try to show up. We try to show up with great ideas. We try to show up with money. Because sometimes that's very helpful. We help in one place, we pay for lunch. In one place, we help fund and help staff larger trainings. We've brought in speakers for a couple large events. First of all, Dr. James Henry and the Children's Trauma Assessment Center from Kalamazoo. They've come twice to discuss the experience of childhood trauma and how to help children develop resilience. That's been extremely effective. We've had probably... in the two trainings that we've had, probably about 400 to 450 people. We try to feed them, and we offer it for free so that people don't have any, there's no reason for them not to be able to come. And then this August, we're excited to be hosting another speaker, Dr. Mary Bacon. Her message is about unintentional bias and how to help children through seeing their strengths, a strength-based approach.
What has been the response to the training and the capacity building that you've been doing thus far?
Oh, my gosh. It has been fantastic. We do little surveys at the end of them, and we, of course, take anecdotal data. And people are just, they're grateful. They're taking that work, that what they've learned, and they're taking it into their work, and they're telling people about it. It has that much impact on them.
The training, I've been to your trainings with Dr. Henry, and I'm very much looking forward to hearing from Dr. Mary Bacon. It's challenging. The information that we hear challenges our assumptions and the things that make us want to pretend that everything is hunky-dory in the community.
When Dr. Henry came, the first time that he came, he had everybody take a survey about childhood trauma, and there were people weeping in the audience. Not just about the people that they're serving, but about some of their own experience.
Yes, it's been really important for me in helping to understand the work that we're trying to support through United Way through these various collective impact efforts and has really opened my eyes to some things. So thank you for that work that you've been doing. And thank you to Margie Hojeri-Hadsel of the Cass County Great Start Collaborative for being here today. We have to go to break, but when we return, we will continue our conversation on how collective impact creates change in our community. So stay with us.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6. I am Rachel Wade filling in for Anna Murphy. I would now like to welcome into the studio Shanda Hillman, the Executive Director of Tri-County Head Start, who is an important partner of both the Great Start Collaboratives in Cass and Berrien Counties. Welcome, Shanda.
Thank you so much for having me here.
How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
So you're a little bit different from the other guests we've had this evening because the other folks are leading the work of these collective impact efforts. You are participating in the work of these efforts. You are the director of an organization who is convened by these collective impact efforts. So tell us a little bit about, number one, what Tri-County Head Start does, and what is your relationship with the Great Start Collaboratives?
Okay, I'd love to. So Tri-County Head Start has been around since 1972. And in that time, we've served over 40,000 children and families in our communities.
That's amazing.
It is. And, you know, we offer our preschool services all the way from birth all the way up to age five in both center-based and home-based programs across 40 centers. And we have 44 classrooms within that area. So we are really spread out, have a staff of over 250 employees who work for us. But really at Tri-County Head Start, we work in Berrien, Cass, and Van Buren counties with all of the Great Start collaboratives in each of the counties. And it's really a natural fit for us. The collaboratives are focused on working with local agencies to achieve their four outcomes that Margie had mentioned. So children born healthy, children developmentally on track from birth to third grade, children ready to succeed in school when they enter kindergarten, and children are reading by grade level by the end of third grade. And Head Start work touches on all of those. The collaboratives are really locally designed as well. So it's wonderful to see that each are a bit different, but both are all three are so valuable to our organization. They help us stay on top of resources that we can connect families with, along with working on committees and initiatives to really impact children and families in the three counties that we serve.
And considering your three county service area, which now mirrors United Way's.
This is very exciting.
Yeah, that's 3,200 square miles, 285,000 people. You're an incredibly busy woman with all of the work that you do. Clearly, this work is important to you because you take time out of your everyday work to attend the various meetings for three different collaboratives. So that means this partnership must be important to your organization. Why? How does it help Tri-County Head Start to engage in this work?
Absolutely. You know, there are a lot of meetings with all three.
We love meetings.
We try to have as many of our staff members who are available to go to those go, because they are so important to the work that we do. So Head Start's been around since 1965 with President Lyndon B. Johnson's War on Poverty. And the purpose of Head Start has never been just about getting children educationally ready for kindergarten, but about the whole child or a whole family approach. Because we know that healthy, successful families create great education and health outcomes for their children. And by partnering with the Great Start collaboratives, we can better help wrap our arms around the families that we serve and help them really on their path to success.
So how does working on these problems collaboratively, how does that address these problems in a way that you couldn't do on your own just as a single organization?
For the services that we provide to our families, there's no way that we could do this work effectively without the collaborative. It allows us to be able to, you know, really stretch that limited funding, not do duplicate work, and helping other organizations also achieve their mission. It allows us all to have a larger impact. Our mission is really to see families and children succeed, and to do that, they have to have their basic needs met first. These collaboratives bring a diverse group of organizations together, and the information that we gather is then passed on to our families that need it most. And that fulfills our mission, but also theirs. Our counties only grow stronger if we're all able to better utilize our limited resources to ensure work's not duplicated, organizations are not siloed. A really good example is an event that we had begun hosting, and last year we decided to change it up a bit. And instead of doing separate events at each center, which is a really large undertaking, we decided to do three really large countywide events. And the collaboratives ended up being a part of each one of those, in addition to some other organizations that we were introduced to because of the Great Start collaboratives. So the goal of that event was to strengthen the father-child bond, to teach them educational outcomes of some simple, low-cost, really fun activities that they can do at home. And in each county, the collaboratives brought different resources to the table, really helped us spread the word of those events And by working together, the attendance at these events more than doubled over the previous year.
That's amazing. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way's 26 at 6, and I'm speaking with Shanda Hillman of Tri-County Head Start. You know, another wonderful example of how deep these partnerships are is your work with the Great Start Readiness Preschool and how Head Start is federally funded preschool, GSRP is state funded preschool, and you want to make sure that the right children are in the right programs. And so you both programs share information and make sure that the right kid is getting into the right program. You're not saying, oh, I need to fill up mine first. It's no, let's do it for the betterment of the child and the family. And if that means I lose this kid to you, hey, that's great, because it's about the kid, not about me.
Absolutely. And we've actually begun some really exciting work with the CAS GSRP program. We are working on a unified enrollment process to where we are working together using the same program so that families really have only one place to go and apply rather than two or three different places. And then once they apply, we're able to direct them to the program that fits best for them. And I'm sure that, you know, once we work out all of the kinks, that work will continue in the other two counties as well.
Yeah, making it easier for the end user, the family,
absolutely,
as opposed to making it easier for you as the staff.
Yes, we wanted to simplify this process so much for families because it can be really cumbersome to try to gather your income information, the child's records, for two or three different organizations. And so by allowing them to input all of their information into one place, we can really make sure that the maximum number of children are served in the program that fits best for them and their families.
Yeah. As we're wrapping up this episode of the 26 at 6, as I said, you're the organizational representative, right, in this group. What is your advice to other organizations who are maybe interested in getting involved in collective impact?
I would say probably the most important thing is trust.
Mm.
And, you know, just really assuming that positive intent, that knowing that everyone is working towards that same goal, working towards, you know, the health and well-being of all the children and families in our community, and being okay if things are not totally successful or not done exactly the way that you would do them, but instead knowing that together you're able to pool resources and really move forward together. Celebrating those changes and the little things that help us grow and learn to really become a better community. You know, we're all strapped for resources, but being able to offer up a person that might be able to work on a project or the use of some equipment or a facility space, or even sharing a best practice can really go a long way when working with other organizations.
Yeah, I think that is so important. And I have the privilege of being a part of all of these collective impact efforts that we've been talking about today, and just understanding, as you said, that trust, mm-hmm, and knowing that we're all in this together. And again, you make a very good point of kind of being willing to fail. Mm-hmm. Being vulnerable enough to open yourselves up as an organization to say what we've been doing thus far isn't working. We've got to be able to try something new. And are we willing to kind of go down that road together? Thank you so much, Shanda Hillman of Tri-County Head Start, as well as all of our other guests, for joining us this evening. If you want to know more about United Way of Southwest Michigan, you can visit us at uwsm.org. United Way fights for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in Southwest Michigan. I am Rachel Wade, and thank you for joining the fight.
And thank you for listening. Join us Tuesday night for the United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6 on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.